guy might be good. May I give Jason Wyatt a little advice at this point? What the hell's going on here?
Buccaneers fans, what a day it is to be alive on the Ira Kaufman podcast. The 2023 season is officially here. The bell has rung. There's a new quarterback in the house. Re-signed players. Salary cap is a myth. It doesn't exist. It's all a scam. But players are coming back. The roster is taking shape. And Ira Kaufman is here. Lee DeCamper is here of Joe Bucks Fan. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. We're finally back together. And all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Now, it's very serious at Bill Curry Ford, Ira. They have got deals. They're all at BillCurryFord.com. But they're not just about the deals. They're about personal service. They've got a concierge service. If you want to order a new vehicle, they'll give you $500 just to do it. And no deposit, quick turnarounds. GM Sean Sullivan's also giving you the Ira Kaufman discount on top of that. And he's there for you personally if you want to reach out to him. So many fans know him now because they listen to his Best in Class podcast. Great, great quarterbacks breakdown by Sean. Find it at JoeBucksFan.com or at the podcast platforms, Best in Class with Sean Sullivan. Great quarterback breakdowns. But Bill Curry Ford, they're matching your tax refund. Double your tax refund there. Get the details at BillCurryFord.com. They've got 0% financing offers. Just don't mess around. Bill Curry Ford, that's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, Bill Curry Ford. 62 plus years in Tampa, nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. And we are about 6 weeks from our draft party at Big Storm Brewery in Ybor. All the great Big Storm beers on tap, so many to choose from. Look at them all at BigStormBrewery.com. And of course, there are tap rooms in Odessa, where I was with the Sage over the weekend, and Clearwater, their flagship location, outdoor patio. It's massive. It's covered. It's fantastic. Cape Coral in Orlando at the Amway Center. And we're excited to get to the new location in Centro Ybor upstairs. Follow Big Storm on all your social media for your specific tap room, Big Storm Clearwater, Big Storm Ybor, Big Storm Brewery. Great menu. Try a Bromosa today. And Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll talk more about them later, Sage. They are the legends. When you have a disaster in your home, that's where you go. And go before, so you know who to call. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, Lee, I can't wait to throw this out there because, you know, it's the biggest position in the National Football League and the biggest question mark of this season. The Bucs signed a franchise quarterback who they hope will be a franchise quarterback. One-year deal today for Baker Mayfield. Only $8.5 million, which is backup money, but we know that they probably would love to have him start and play really well. Sage, Baker Mayfield, the 2018 number one overall pick in the house. I'm going to step aside. Everybody wants to know what Ira thinks, and then we'll get what Lee thinks, and then what I think. What do you think, Ira?
All right, Stevie. First of all, overall, I am impressed. I am impressed with what the Bucs have done. Being able to keep the prioritized defensive players. But let's focus on Mayfield. They could have done a lot worse, Steve. They could have done a lot worse. Why? Because the guy might be good. He might be good. Drew Locke's not going to be any good. We know what Jacoby Brissett is. We know what Jimmy G is. This guy might be good. I can remember a playoff game against the Chiefs, and it wasn't like it was 10 years ago. It was a few years ago, and the Browns were very competitive. I believe the game was in Kansas City. They almost won the damn game, Cleveland. And Mayfield made a lot of good throws down the stretch of that game. And you know how closely I watch KC games. Mayfield scared the hell out of me that day. He had a good season. Now he's bounced around. He's on his fourth team. I understand that. But, guys, he was the number one pick in the draft. And you don't want to just throw that away. And that was a few years after Jameis Winston was taken, not before Winston. After Winston, he's done some things in this league. He's had some problems in this league. I think the guy's a bit of a wise guy. I think he needs to mature a little bit. I think they need to work on that. It would shock nobody. Lee, I'm sure you can't disagree with this one. It would shock nobody if Mayfield starts under center week one. It would surprise no one. We'll see how Trask responds. But the Bucs talked about a competitive training camp. Lee, they backed up their words. This is a guy who will be competitive for the starting. In fact, I might even lean towards him getting the job at this point. I think Trask is going to have a heck of a training camp. Look, this guy is not Joe Burrow. He's not. But, you know, in this division, they can be competitive with Baker Mayfield if he gets his head squared around. I think that's the big thing with him. Lee, tell me your thoughts on Mayfield, but my issues with him are kind of from a leadership standpoint. I think he's short. From a morale standpoint, I think he's short. But the guy's got some tools, and he has done some things in this league, Lee.
I don't know where to begin. I guess you're impressed with some slop like Gardner Minshew. Let's be real. Let's throw our cards out on the table. Three teams have dumped this guy in 2 years. When's the last time you a quarterback rode deep in the playoffs that was dumped by three teams in 2 years? Not one, three. Okay, yeah, he played with McVay and had a couple of nice games. I don't know how much that's McVay. I don't know how much that's Mayfield. Of all the options out there, I would have preferred you ride and die with Trask, and if he sucks, then you go out and get Drake May next year. Right now, you've just extended your quarterback purgatory. And this word compete's really starting to annoy me. Week and a half ago at the combine, light and bowls. Oh, you know, Trask's going to compete. Trask's going to compete. Well, that tells me you don't have a quarterback. Your franchise quarterbacks don't compete. Your franchise quarterbacks win. They don't compete. And now we're talking about Mayfield competing? What are we talking about here? Major thumbs down. You know, apparently Lamar Jackson could be had at a cheap price of two first-round picks. Michael Lombardi claims it can be less. It can be negotiated less. I don't know how true that is. Jimmy Garoppolo, all he does is win. All he does is win. Yeah, it sucks. He did it. He wins. That's all he does. Go out and get him. You know, to me, it's like there's two people at $1, and they can't decide which way to go. We're gonna win the division. We're going to tank. We're going to win the division. We're going to tank. And they can't make up their minds. And so they decide to try to do both. I don't get this at all. You know, maybe if it was any good, three teams wouldn't get rid of him in 2 years. I'm sorry.
Now, Steve, there's a chance that Mayfield could have some kind of a crazy Geno Smith, you know, resurrection. It's possible. It happens.
Wait a minute, Ira. Geno Smith never had a good year. I don't think you can compare him to Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, I'm going to defend him a little bit. I'll give you my thoughts and you can keep going, Sage. First, I got to defend him because he asked to leave the Panthers. They put him on the bench because they intentionally tried to tank. They got rid of McCaffrey. They told Mayfield, sorry, we're going with PJ Walker. And he said, if you're tanking, I'd like to leave. And they said, no problem. So I can't knock the guy when the team intentionally tanked and he said, I'm sorry, I'd like to leave. He did everything they asked of him with the Rams in a bad situation. And they've got a franchise quarterback in Stafford who hasn't quit yet. So I can't knock the guy for that. Cleveland, it's a mess there. And a lot of guys have been thrown through the Cleveland wash. I don't know what happened there, but I think it's fair to say that they were done with him and he had some issues there. For me, I'm just giving him one team with the issues, not two, not three. So I'm going to leave that. As far as the talent, he's got a lot of talent. I agree with Lee. It's like, you know, if you were going all in for a starter, you could have done better. But the Bucs obviously wanted to go on the cheap here with Mayfield for $8.5 million, and it's a weird place because if he plays pretty well, then you're going to have to pay him $30-something million. And maybe you didn't want to do that, but he's going to command top starter money. It's just a little weird, in my opinion. But as a fan speaking, I'm excited by it because I think he's leaps and bounds probably better than Kyle Trask. And I'm just not ready to lose yet. Mentally, I'm not prepared to tank yet. I can't handle
it. You know, Lee made a good point. I mean, you know, one foot's in the winner division. One foot's looking ahead to the 2024 draft and maybe get a franchise quarterback. Lee, I think the foot that's leading the way is the win the division foot. Otherwise, they wouldn't have brought Lavonte David back. That's a telltale sign right there. Right.
Jamal Dean.
They're leaning towards winning this division. I don't blame them necessarily. I don't have rose-colored glasses about Baker Mayfield. Lee, if I look at the quarterback roster with Baker Mayfield and / Kyle Trask, that's a bad situation. That's a bad situation. I'm not going to pretty it up. I just feel that Mayfield has a little bit of a ceiling. Steve, the last thing the Bucs are worried about is paying Baker Mayfield if he has a hell of a year. If he has a hell of a year, the three of us are going to be very happy. if he has a hell of a year. He ain't getting $30 million if the Bucks go 7-10. So let's not concern ourselves with that. I like him better than the guys that were out there giving the money, Lee. And as far as Lamar Jackson's concerned, Lee, it's not the two number one picks. It's trying to fit him in. He wasn't coming here for $18 million. He wasn't going to do it. And they probably wouldn't have been able to keep a lot of these guys if you go get Lamar Jackson. Understandable. And Lee, to be fair and obvious, Lamar Jackson has had some injury issues the last 2 years. Steve, overall, right now, just looking at the haul and who's leaving, I think the Bucks have far surpassed expectations. We'll get to the defensive guys in a minute. Who's going to win this battle? I lean towards Mayfield. Steve, I don't know where you are. I think Trask is going to have a hell of a training camp.
Ira, do you think that they basically, to get Mayfield for 1 year, $8.5 million, which is really backup money, good backup money. Teddy Bridgewater's made that before as a backup. Other guys, Jameis made more than that early in his years with the Saints. Do you think they basically, to get him, they promised him the starting job? I mean, we know all the BS that flies in NFL organizations. Do you think they sat down with his agent and said, Baker, just be yourself, and it's your job. Don't worry about it.
I don't think so, Steve. I think you're getting ahead of yourself. I don't think so. Lee, did Baker Mayfield have that kind of power and leverage and options as a free agent that his agent was operating from a position of strength and could demand that from Jason Light and Todd Bowles? I think they told him, Lee, you're going to have a real chance to be the starter week one. Go in there, work hard, stay healthy, and have a good training camp, and you're going to have a really good chance. As far as the guarantee, Lee, I'm not willing to go there.
It's a very interesting question that did cross my mind. What else was out there? For example, and I know I always reference Lombardi because I always listen to Lombardi, and he's plugged in because he has two sons working in the NFL as well. Apparently, Kirk Cousins can be had. Apparently, Matt Stafford was being shopped. I've heard that from two different people. Heard that on the NFL Network. Heard it from Lombardi. So I don't know what else is out there. That's a very, very good question. And if I'm Mayfield, if I had any nibbles, I wouldn't agree to come to a team unless he's, you're going to start Kyle Trask over me? Really? He's completed three passes in his career? You're going to start him over me? That's very interesting. I don't know the answer to that. I can only guess. And I don't even know the guess is responsible because who knows if it's accurate or not. That's a very interesting question.
Steve, I think what's fair to say is that in Mayfield's mind, he's going to start. He's going to be the starter for this team. You know, I think he's got something to back that up. I think that's his attitude.
And he's that alpha dog type of personality, so he's not the guy who's going to come in and not act like he's the starter from day one. That's all he knows. Right. And that's the kind of guy he is. That's the way they said he was in Carolina and with the Rams. He, you know, hey, I'm the quarterback. Let's go, boys. You know, and I'm really curious to see how Trask reacts or how they play it publicly. But it's all posturing, Ira. We'll see how it goes. But I'm glad we got your quarterback thoughts, Sage. Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira. Florida's Elite Restoration. That's who you call when you have a flood in your home. Mold. Storm damage at your business, any sort of disaster, that's who you call first, 24/7. Ira, they're going to come out to your property. They're going to assess everything. And of course, you've already let them know when you call that you heard about them from Joe Bucks Fan or the Ira Kaufman podcast. And after they give you an assessment, if you move forward and agree to their services, they'll give you $500 for mentioning Ira. And that comes in the form of money toward your deductible with your insurance company or just cash back. They are such great Bucks fans at Florida's Elite Restoration. Owner Josh Martin, he's hooking us up. $1,000 in prizes, $500 gift card, and another $500 gift card at our draft party at Big Storm Brewery in Ybor City in April. Plenty of details on that, as you've seen on the website, and that are coming soon. But Florida's Elite Restoration, the important thing is to get to their website, floridaselite-restoration.com. Get prepared, bookmark it, and then you know who to call when that disaster strikes. They're licensed mold remediation specialists. They are top shelf, family company serving the entire Bay Area, Florida's Elite Restoration. Let me move you to the defense, Ira. And we'll start with Jamel Dean, cornerback. They brought him back for $13 million a year. And a lot of people thought he would get more, but you never really know until the market hits. And obviously that's a lot of money. Carlton Davis was getting $15 million. Now they got the most expensive pair of corners in the National Football League. Your thoughts on bringing back Dean for a multi-year deal?
Well, I'm gonna quote the great Lee DeKemper on this one. And Lee, correct me if I'm misquoting you, but basically you got $28 million invested in a couple of corners. Where the hell's the pass rush? I said it before Lee did. You know, it's a good tandem. It's not the best in the league. It's a good corner tandem. Carlton Davis, no matter how many times I hear it out of one buck, is not one of the five best cornerbacks in football. He's not. Let's get that out there. He's not. Go pick off five or six passes. We'll discuss it again. We'll go over this again. Right now, you're a good corner. You're not elite. Dean, I said it before. I think there was some discussion within the organization about Dean's ceiling. I think he had a good year. I think he had a better year than Davis, to be frank with you, Lee. I don't know how you feel about it. I am surprised Dean came back. It's not a great corner free agent pool. I thought he might be able to get a little bit more. And I'll say this before we go any further as far as the defensive guys. Lee, I think it speaks very well. And tell me if I'm getting too far ahead of myself. I think it speaks very well for this organization, Lee, to be able to bring Dean, David, maybe even Nelson back when you're cash-strapped. I don't think it was a case where the Bucks were going to outbid anybody, Lee, or everybody. I think they wanted to play in Tampa, Lee. It's a good organization, good people, good town, good tax rate. Lee, say it any way you want. But to be able to bring Dean back, and then you add a couple of other guys that were priorities for Todd Bowles on his side of the football, I think it's kind of a salute to the organization to a certain extent.
Yeah, you're right, but let's hold off on the parade for Anthony Nelson. I know Steve's going to hit the ceiling by me saying this. I'm not an Anthony Nelson guy. He's an okay guy off the bench. He might get you 4 sacks a year, 5 sacks a year. What turned me against Anthony, not against, but made him a dubious player in my eyes, was how he got absolutely owned in San Francisco. Absolutely owned. It was like a child playing with men. And at that point, I'm like, I'm done with Anthony Nelson. And I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. I was up there watching from the press box. It was awful. And that to me, after that point, Anthony Nelson's little more than roster filler. Damn it, the NFL is about production. And if you go up against a decent team and you get owned like he did, what's the point? With the defense, I'm a big Jamel Dean guy, and this is what turned the corner on me, Ira. Next-gen stats. Next-gen stats doesn't lie. Next-gen stats, last year, Jamel Dean allowed the fifth fewest passing yards when he was targeted and or he was the nearest receiver to the targeted receiver. Fifth fewest. That sold me.
Yeah, he had a nice season, Lee. There's no question about it.
Here's my theory on cornerbacks and free agents, and when they reach free agency. Okay, yeah, he's going to cost money. I am a firm believer. Man, if not, how should I'm going to flip the coin instead. I just go bananas. When you draft a player, you develop a player, he starts to hit his peak in physical calendar, and he's the top-shelf player, and you let him walk away. That just drives me bananas. That absolutely drives me nuts. Either sign a guy and trade him, or you trade him before he hits free agency, or you keep him. To let a good guy, a young guy, a guy at 26 walk, that just drives me nuts. Unless, and here's the unless. Unless, and Dungy was good for this. Dungy always had a good young corner willing to step in and take the place of that free agent. He always did.
Now, Lee, having said that, you sounded the last couple of weeks like you were ready to let Devin White take a pass out of one buck place, Lee. You were ready.
Take a pass, what do you mean?
Oh, you were going to open the door for Devin White to get the hell out of Tampa.
I'm not against that because I don't think he's a top-shelf linebacker.
All right.
He's got top-shelf ability, but, I mean, is he an elite linebacker? A top-five linebacker? Just, I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, he should be, Lee. He's a top five pick. He should be.
Should be. We should win the lottery. We should go to bed with Kate Upton tonight. We should be healthy.
I like Jamel Dean. I like his game. He's not very good in zone coverage. He's a good cornerback. They did a great job developing him. I just think they overpaid. And I think usually when you overpay significantly, that you lose out. Doesn't work out. So I don't necessarily get it. And I'm more of a pass rush guy, edge rush guy. You know, they paid him $13 million. You can get a great edge rusher with that kind of money. But they did what they did, and I'm okay with it. I mean, I think Dean would have rather see them pay him $9 million instead of $13 million. But I'm not going to cry over that, even though I was a little upset when they did it. But I get it. I get it. Now, Anthony Nelson, I got to defend the guy, Lee, because if you pound the table, production, 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 he produces more than Trajan Soyinka in 400 less snaps over the last 2 years. More tackles.
I think it's just more about Soyinka than it does Anthony Nelson.
I understand that, but you're all in favor of sticking with Trajan Soyinka and seeing what else he's got to do. And the fact is, Nelson's gotten better each year, and he's got sacks. There was no reason to let him walk when he's been a productive guy that you developed. It's the same mindset of Jamel Dean, fourth round pick.
A productive backup?
He's been productive with what they've asked him to do. He's done pretty well as a fourth round pick who's come in and led your team in sacks off the edge last season. I don't know any team that lets its top edge sacks guy walk away for no good reason. We did that 10 years ago. I didn't want to do it again.
Until you see the guys who started ahead of him. And then you got to ask, okay, why wasn't he starting? I got completely turned off watching that San Francisco game, watching him get completely owned.
Don't read too much into one game against the Niners. They got one of the better offensive lines in football, Lee. And all right, he had a bad game. Lee, you can't name one or two Bucks that played well in that game. I mean, they got destroyed. They absolutely
got destroyed.
And he's making solid.
I think he's a quality backup, Steve. I think he's a quality backup.
And he's making solid backup money. So I'm good with it. I'm good. I don't think they overpaid for him. And so I'm glad he's back, and we'll leave it at that. Sage Levante, David, that decision, 1 year deal, $7 million plus incentives, pulls it to $8 million. It's really an all in kind of move. Cause if you even thought about tanking, you weren't bringing back David, but for some perspective for you, Ira and Lee, David's going to enter his 12th season. Paul Gruber played 12 seasons, Ring of Honor left tackle in Tampa. Derek Brooks, 14 seasons. Rondé Barber, 16. David's right up there now, hitting that 12th year. It's a big deal. And he led the Bucs in tackles last year. If, you know, that was not a guy you wanted to leave.
Steve, you're absolutely right. Look, from a selfish standpoint, I'm so happy that 54 is back in town. He's my go-to guy after games. Cameron Great was one of my go-to guys. He's gone, but I'll stick with Levante David. Win or lose, he's accountable. And that's what you can ask for from a player. He's honest. And he's still a very good player. Steve, $7 million. I don't want to call him a bargain, but gee, I thought he could get more on the open market. And we don't know that he couldn't have gotten more. We're going to have to find that out, Lee. We'll have to find that out. I think there's a pretty good chance somebody was going to pay him more than $7 million base salary. And one more thing, Lee. I mean, this, to me, is the hit and miss season for Devin White. They, you know, before they fork over a heck of a lot of money for Devin White, or they kick him to the curb. This is the season. There's no more seasons past this for Devin White if he doesn't elevate his game and get back to late 2020. Having David next to him, Lee, I think gives him the best chance to be his best self. You could say, well, he's had David the last 2 years and he hasn't raised his game. Well, that's on White. That's on White. But I don't want any excuses, and I don't want him saying after this season, well, you got rid of Levante, and I couldn't trust the guy that was next to me. No, no, no. That's not going to happen, Lee. So from that standpoint, I'm also glad. Lee, you package David and Dean, and you're bringing them back. I think, again, how do they do it? I mean, it shows you again, Lee, this crazy outcry about being $55 million over the cap. Oh, woe is me. What are you going to do? They're stuck. They're dead. All right. So you move on from Donovan Smith. You move on from Leonard Fournette. But you don't move on from Levante David and Jamel Dean. And, you know, Bowles had a big part to say in that, Lee. He's the head coach, and he's flexing his muscles more this year. And they listened to him. And he said, I want David back here. Do what you can to make it happen. Lee, they did it. You got to give him credit.
Part of the reason I think Bowles is flexing his muscles is, number one, you know, he can't use the excuse, I wanted to bring coaches in, but I couldn't because I was hired late. Okay, well, that's over with. Also, Bowles, I'm sure, knows that if for whatever reason he gets fired after this year or fired after 2024, it's unlikely he'll ever get another head coaching job. So if you're going to go out swing. Go out your way, as Bill Parcells would say. You know, you got to do it your way. Real quick about Donovan Smith, till I get back to Devin White. Anybody find it interesting that Donovan Smith, to my knowledge, I got to emphasize that, to my knowledge, he hasn't had any kind of message on social media, hey, Bucs fans, thanks, or I enjoyed my time at Tampa, or whatever. Anybody find that interesting?
Very interestingly. Very interesting.
I think that's because he got so much crap from fans that he has no desire to thank people who ragged on him from the day he was drafted. Devin White, Ira, is he haunted by his 2020 postseason play? Because everybody says, hey, you did that your second year in the league. Where is it?
To an extent, Lee, but I'm not letting him off the hook. Lee, I'm not letting him off the hook. He's played okay the last 2 years. That's not good enough. You got to be better than that. You play okay. Well, the fifth pick in the draft, Lee, that guy, I want that guy to be a Pro Bowler. I want him to be a perennial Pro Bowler. I didn't say all pro. I didn't say he should go to the Hall of Fame. But, you know, it'd be nice if this guy makes five Pro Bowls before he hangs it up. The way he's playing now, that's a long shot. I understand what you're saying. He might have been the best player in that postseason championship drive. But he just takes too many bad angles. He doesn't wrap up. You know, as much as Bowles is defending him, Lee, and I understand it, because what's he going to do, rip the guy in public? Behind closed doors, Lee, Bowles expects more from Devin White. I think quite a bit more.
Yeah, interesting point there, Lee, about Donovan Smith. I just took a quick gaze at his social media, see if anything was new. Nothing there. He did update and take down his Bucks affiliation and all that. So, yeah, it feels a little sour grapes-ish, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I guess there's an off chance, a very off chance, that maybe they'll go back to him and see if he doesn't have much of a market. Maybe they'll bring him back on the cheap. I don't know.
Steve, may I interject there, Steven? And I got to give you credit. I don't remember if it was you, Steve, or Lee. It might have been Lee. But one of you guys, maybe 2 weeks ago, and I thought it came out of nowhere, and I downplayed it, and you guys ended up being right. You mentioned that Shaq Mason might be on the way out. And he's trade bait. I don't, Lee, was it you or Steve? I can't remember.
Oh, Steve, that was very, if it's something that deals with intelligence, it's Steve.
That was a great call, Isbitz. That was a great call. You probably had an inkling with your tentacles and your sources. Outstanding move, Steve. It reminds me of when I said that Donovan Smith wasn't going to make it 2 weeks before he got released. Now, Steve, let me take over this podcast for about 90 seconds.
All right, go ahead.
All right, a couple of points. One, and I don't like this one bit, not one bit, and I've seen it too many times, and it happens all over the league, but it happens a lot with the Buck players. Steve, as soon as a guy no longer gets a paycheck from one Buck place, I see certain websites and certain people that try to cover the Bucks say, good riddance, guy wasn't any good. Average player, below average player. I'm tired of it, Steve. I think that's ignorant. I don't think you're really a Buck fan if you say that. And for Shaq Mason in particular, look, Lee, I'm not saying the guy was an all-pro, but the guy was a good player. I mean, he was a good pass blocker, maybe a little bit below average as a run blocker, but I'll live with that, Lee. I'll live with that. The guy didn't get hurt. He's a professional. And as soon as he leaves the Bucks, you know, to hear some of these people talk, the guy was a scrub. He was not a scrub. So I wanted to get that out there and leave my other point, which is my bigger point. Here I am handing out all kinds of praises for the organization, and they brought this guy back and they brought that guy back. Lee, as things stand right now, maybe I'm missing something. Lee, as things stand right now, this whole line is a huge concern. And I mean huge. And other than Jensen and Wirfs, Lee, am I missing something? Other than Wirfs and Jensen, you got a lot of wannabes. I don't see anybody that's proven up there.
Yes, you are missing something, Ira. A.Q. Shipley had a little bit of broke some news yesterday. It sure smells and looks like Robert Haynes is going to be playing right guard.
So what?
Hey,
I take it you're not impressed with him?
Who says he can get the job done at right guard? I don't know that.
Well, I mean, you could say that about all kinds of positions on the Bucks. How do we know Baker Mayfield's going to get anything done? I mean, we can go on and on about that.
Yeah, Sage, a couple of things. When Jason Light stepped out at the combine and basically put his foot in the ground and said Luke Goedeke got a bit of a bad rap at left guard. He came out strong, and then he had a tough stretch against some of the NFL's best. And you know, we're looking forward to him coming back strong. And I had some information prior that they were really not down on Goedeke. Just there was so much urgency, and I got the feeling that maybe Tom Brady said, "Hey, can we get this guy out of here? Let him learn on somebody else's time," kind of thing. When Light came out very strong on Goedeke, there was a moment, I'm not going to give names here. We were sitting in a bar late at night at the combine, Lee and I, and a Buccaneers coach walked in, and Lee's like, "Hey, get over here." And the guy came over. And it became very clear that at that point, and I had suspected sooner, but it became very clear that these guys want Luke Goedeke and Robert Hainsey on the field. They expect them on the field. And nobody mentioned Shaq Mason at the combine, not Bowles, not Light. It became pretty obvious that he's the odd man out because of money in a year where they're trying to get younger, and that was a spot where they had an option. So it was just putting some things together there, Sage. But it doesn't take away from the question marks. Goedeke, we don't really know what kind of guard he's going to be. Hainsey, we don't know if he can play guard. He's never done it. And huge question marks.
Let me pose this to Mr. DeCamper for a moment. Lee, here's the four names, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, Lee. Here we go. Goedeke.
That's your lunch.
Lee, Goedeke, Hainsey, Leverett, Stinney. Lee, do we know anything about these guys?
Well, Stinney, he was one of the heroes. That's ES. Thank you, Steve. He was one of the heroes of the Super Bowl run because he came in and took over for Kappa when Kappa got hurt against Washington, and he never knew it. He never knew it, which is the ultimate compliment to an offensive lineman. But he was also playing in the second half of the last worthless preseason game, which usually signals the guys on thin ice. So I don't know what's going on with Stinney. I can tell you about that. Between Steve and I, we talked to four different people with the Bucks on and off the record about the offensive line. We were told it's premature to start plugging people in at certain holes because, number one, free agency wasn't over with yet. Number two, the draft wasn't over with yet. Until the draft is over with, then we can start trying to, you know, plug in what guy's going to play in what position. Until then, it's premature. But Steve and I were both told by various sources, not just one guy, not just the guy in the bar that Steve referenced, but multiple people, that Hainsey can play guard and that Tristan Wirfs could play left tackle. That's not saying they will. But as I stated earlier, A.Q. Shipley was on McAfee's show yesterday, and he all but said Hainsey's up for right guard.
Steve, that's the third position the guy would play in 4 years. I mean, he played right tackle for 3 years. Then he's playing center, and now you're going to move him to right guard. Well, what's this, another MJ Stewart episode over here, Isbitz?
Well, to be...
Steve, can I quote the certain coach that we both saw in the bar? Can I quote him?
Sure.
Okay. This is what this Bucks offensive assistant told us, Ira. If you could start 3 years at right tackle at Notre Dame, and you could start at center in the NFL, you can play right guard.
All right. Well, I just thought and he that, was...
That's coming from a coach. That's not coming from some dude in Bradenton at a Hooters.
And for the record, Ira, he wasn't drinking because Lee offered to buy him a drink. And he's like, I got to get up early. And so he was actually sober and busted through the busy bar to come talk to us, which was pretty cool, Ira. But that's the combine, Sage. You know, again, the offensive line, we've all heard it. All of us have heard it for years from coaches, how important continuity is on the line. Well, they just blew out the left tackle, blew out the right guard. We got a center coming back who hasn't been around for a year, and Goedeke hasn't played that much. It's going to be a huge question. And will they go there in the draft, Ira, before we get into some of these other deals? I think it's a no-brainer. If I can read the mind of Jason Light, I think it's a no-brainer that they're going edge rusher in the draft because they're desperate. And even though they got a lot of sacks last year, top 10 in sacks, it's still, you want that consistent rush as much as you want those sacks. And I'm not sure they have the horses. So I think they're going edge rusher, Ira. But would it shock you if they went for a left tackle or a blue chip offensive lineman first or second round?
There might be one or two offensive linemen that I think is worth taking. If they fall to 19, there's one guy that's really versatile. Because I'm with you at the edge rusher, because Lee, when they sit down 3 days before the draft and finalize their pick, if this guy's there, we're going to take him. If Jason Light looks at Todd Bowles and says, Todd, you have full confidence in Joe Shoyan, Troyinka is going to take the next step, what the hell's Bowles going to tell Light? He's going to say, go get me another guy. I can't put all my stock in that. And who can blame Bowles at this point?
No, I mean,
Logan Hall, you know.
Yeah, that guy too. He got worse as the season went on, and that's a terrible sign for a rookie. And then you hear Bowles. I think it was Bowles. Someone was saying he needed to get bulked up. He was relying too much on his athletic ability. Well, that tells me that he was overwhelmed by the NFL, going from Houston to the NFL. That tells me he was overwhelmed. I hate saying that about a rookie, but, you know, it is what it is. And you know what? These guys, they get mad at us because, oh, you're negative when I say these guys, NFL players. Well, guess who has the chance to turn that negativity into positivity? You, pal. It's called production. Get to it. Don't worry about what these say. Worry about your job. And then we'll jump on the bandwagon. Ira, about Gecky real quick. There's this guy on Twitter. He used to be the scouting director of the Bears. Now, I'm not saying he belongs in Canton because he was scouting director of the Bears. You know, I didn't see a whole lot. But he does have an insight into players and their abilities, this that most of us do not have. No, most of us do not notice. Most of us don't even factor in. And this guy had said about the offensive tackle from Northwestern, Skaronski.
Yeah, that's the guy, yeah.
Well, he's going to be a guard in the NFL, this guy said, because his arms are shorter than 33 inches. I know this really excites you. His arms are shorter than 33 inches, and this guy's name's Greg Gabriel. Real angry SOB. I mean, really angry SOB. But he said there's only two tackles starting in the NFL that have shorter arms than 33 inches. And, oh, by the way, Getty has 32-inch arms. So people are talking about plugging him in a tackle. I thought that was very interesting. You know, Gabriel wasn't talking about Getty, but he was talking about Skaronski. But he said, under 33-inch arms, he's a guard.
Interesting. Steve, may I give Jason Light a little advice at this point, Steve? May I?
Yes, you may, Ira, but I want to soothe you a little bit first, if I may. You know, I know it really gets in your craw when writers, player leaves, then all of a sudden they're smacking them around, whereas here, we'll smack them around while they're still in town.
That's right.
Same thing for head coaches, same thing for general managers. All of a sudden they're a bum once they leave. I just want you to be sure that when you're gone, Ira, or when you're on a new team, we're going to still laud you as the sage that you are. We'll never do that to you, so don't worry about it.
My next team is going to be Canton, Ohio, the Hall of Fame over there, Steve. How do you like that?
But I like it. Hey, Sage, real quick, a 0% financing, Bill Curry Ford. It's not a joke. We all know what interest rates are, but they've got 0% financing offers, many of them, at Bill Curry Ford. Don't mess around. Reach out to Sean Sullivan, the GM, or just go to BillCurryFord.com and demand the Ira Kaufman discount on top of that. And as we heard before, Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first phone call. Florida's Elite Restoration, storm damage, mold, whatever it is, fire, flood, that's who you call. Before you call your insurance company, they'll check everything out free and give you an assessment so you know what's going on, and then you go from there. And BigStormBrewery.com, look at all the beers. Yeah, they're so good. I love that Sunny Key Lime that I had with you, Ira, Big Storm Brewery. Sage, I'm going to give you a different name, Ira, mostly because I love this guy. I just love watching him. Devin Singletary up in Buffalo, Ira. That guy, 5'7". 5'7". Nobody talks about him. If he was in a different market, he'd be heralded like you wouldn't believe. 5'7", 200. He's a punishing runner. He can catch the ball. His career, he's averaging 4.7 yards a carry. And he's just a damn good player. And he's out there. He's probably going to be cheap because they always underestimate this guy. Up in Buffalo, they drafted Dalvin Cook's brother the year before. They drafted somebody else. They're always trying to replace him, and he always ends up being their leading rusher for a good team, and he's just good. And there's going to be some value out there.
That's not bad, Steve. You know, the problem with Singletary in Buffalo is they didn't use him enough, Steve. They got, you know, Allen's over there throwing, you know, 39 passes. And he had to split carries with James Cook, and you're right. He's a good player, Steve. Good player.
What about the Detroit's running back that recently? He got cut, I think, last night. He was a leading rusher.
Was it DeAndre Swift or another guy?
Yeah, from what I read on Twitter, everybody was shocked. Like, oh my gosh, he's so good. And, you know, he got cut like maybe minutes after they signed. Is it Montgomery from Chicago?
Yeah,
they signed David Montgomery.
Yeah, they signed Montgomery to replace him. Yeah, and interesting. He got about $6 million a year in Fournette. You know, they didn't want to pay him the $7 million. I'm really curious to see where Lenny goes, but there's some running backs out there like there are every year, and it seems like the price is going to come down. But you know someone's coming in here. You know that they're just going to find a way to get somebody in here. And, yeah, they'll probably draft a running back at some point. They need somebody at running back to play special teams and hopefully to challenge for a top spot. But Jason Light, you know, right now they're riding with Rashad White. But do you think a big-name veteran comes in here if he's cheap enough, Ira?
I think so. And Lee, you know, I think you look at it the same way. Lee, I know this kid from Texas is a good running back, but, gee, Lee, I just can't imagine not going with the trenches with that 19th pick. They're not going to take a wide receiver with the 19th pick. I didn't say they're not going to draft a receiver or two, Lee, during the draft, but not with the 19th pick. You know, they got a hell of a tandem, and Gage isn't bad as the third guy when he's healthy. Lee, you got to go with the trenches. The, you know, edge rusher, offensive line. I just don't think the Bucs at this point could go with a running back at 19.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's a good one, but I've got talked out of it because drafting a running back at 19, unless he's the final piece of the puzzle. Did Saquon Barkley turn around the Giants? No, he did not.
Right.
And everybody says it's the best guy since Barkley. Well, you know, Barkley wasn't exactly a franchise changer. So I've been talked out of it as much as I want him. Okay, I'm going to throw a real curveball at you guys. The guy I'm starting to think at 19, up until recently, I thought he was going to be there in the second round, and I thought the Bucs would get a bargain. But the way people are talking, I hope people haven't lost their minds, but this talk that Anthony Rich is the top 10 quarterback, I mean, I think Jason Light has no option then. You got to pull the trigger on Hendon Hooker. I mean, I thought that guy was going to be there in the second round. Maybe you trade up into the second round. Maybe you trade back into the first round to get him. But son of a gun, if Anthony Richardson, who's proven nothing with his arm, goes in the top 10, number one, people have lost their freaking minds. Number two, that means Hooker's the next guy off the board, and you got to go get him.
You know, Steve, speaking of Anthony Richardson, I'm glad Lee brought it up. Steve, I just thought it was hysterical. And frankly, I thought we were past it at this point, but we never learn, Steve. We never learn. This frenzy, absolute frenzy over the guy's vertical jump. Steve, what the hell's going on here? I mean, that's how you're going to judge Anthony Richardson? By his vertical jump? Are you out of your mind? His broad jump? Even his time in the 40? Are you kidding me? Justin Fields ran for 1,100 yards. Nobody's considering Justin Fields an elite quarterback. You got to throw the ball. Steve, this guy's not accurate. Somebody's going to make a big mistake. Somebody's going to take him in the top 10. He's a project. I'll say this, Steve. You play him as a rookie, he'll get absolutely destroyed. Destroyed.
Well, if you believe he's a quality project, then maybe there's a team for him that can treat him as such with whatever their quarterback situation is. So I could see it happening for a team that has that luxury, but the Bucs aren't that team, and I certainly don't want that here. And, you know, Ira, this is the last question on this podcast, and I'm going to let people think about it. We'll be back again this week, probably some more cool moves happening, and we'll hear probably from these free agents very soon, especially Mayfield, who is going to be a joy for us as far as somebody who's interesting and has a lot to say and does some interesting things. He's not boring, which is always good. But Ira, I got to put you on the spot. With the moves that you've seen in the last few days, and knowing the situation at hand, seeing what's happened in the division, what's the line right now? What is the line for Todd Bowles? How many games does he have to win to keep his job?
I think 10. You know, should he go 9-8? They don't make the playoffs. All of a sudden, he's under 500. For, you know, as a two-year coach of the Bucks, he'd be one game under 500. Lead 10-7, I think, is enough to save him. I'm not sure 9-8 is, unless the division's still awful. And, well, you can't expect the division to be that bad again. They're not that bad.
Wow, Ira, that's harsh, man. 10 wins to save his job? So you're going to tell me if he goes 9-8 and gets a little better without Tom Brady, and obviously if you go 9-8, you had some good wins and you did some good things, that you think they'd blow him out?
If you don't make the playoffs and you go 9-8, I think that would raise some flags for the Glazers. Yeah.
Wow, all right, the sage has spoken. You get to move the line, Ira, as things develop in the next handful of days and you see the rest of the division, but that's pretty harsh, Ira. I would think... with 9-8 would save him, but that's just me. You're the sage. It's the Ira Kaufman.
Well, Lee had David and Dean left, then I think that number would come down because then you could say, well, wait a minute, we're shredded on our defense. We got no second running back. You could make some arguments. Of course, quarterback. Maybe 10's a little harsh, Lee, but certainly 9. I can't go below 9. Can't.
Wow. I would say 5.
5.
I know fans are screaming. I really believe, even though it was a losing record, the Glazers are going to give Bowles the mulligan because he made them hundreds of millions of dollars with a home playoff game. I really believe that he got a mulligan. You could argue he shouldn't because he had Tom Brady. Fair point.
Here's one thing to consider if he does go 5-12, and let's hope he doesn't. Lee, at that point, the odds are they'll draft the quarterback in 24. Yeah. And then the question is he the right guy with a potential franchise quarterback? I think that'll be the question going forward.
You hit the nail on the head there, Ira. My answer to that is no, he's not the guy. Would he be the guy to groom a quarterback? No, he's already 0-2 doing that. Who says he's going to be 1-2? I don't.
Sage, I'm going to put it at 9, winning record. If he goes 8-9, the fans will want him out. He'll be a proven loser. And I think ownership will want him out because, and Lee, I'll say this, as much as you believe in that, if they bring him back after a losing record, he'll be losing them more money in 2024 than he made them in 2022. And they're not going to sign up for that because no one's going to sign up for Bowles as another year of losing. So your line is 10, Ira. I'm 9. Lee's at 5. We'll see where it changes, Sage. And
I'm gonna switch to 9. I'm switching to 9.
All right. The Sage is at 9. No mulligans in the NFL, unless there's injuries. That's what I think. But we'll see. You never know. All right, Ira, look, you've been fantastic, and we'll be back. And I'm not even going to let you say goodbye to the fans. I'm going to let you back to all of your film study and your Knish study and your donut study and all the things you do. And we'll see you next time on the Ira Kaufman podcast.